This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company on this Tuesday afternoon. We're a day late, I guess, with the week in Iceland, but that's okay because we can get even more content in, talk about more things, can't we?
Yeah.
Inga Sara Guðmundsdóttir is my guest today. Hello.
Hello.
Lovely to see you again.
You
and
too.
Ready for a counter through the week and a day's news. And I want to just start, because it was the first thing that happened, with this last-minute decision, and it is the last-minute decision because Bjarni's not going to stay on as Prime Minister. That's not going to happen. But he has issued these whaling licenses in the last days of what will be his government. And there have been pleas for the new government to revoke these whaling licenses when they come into power, whoever they are. And we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
Now, you wonder why this has happened, because a lot of people, particularly outside of Iceland, are just horrified by this.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's also a bit controversial because his government is now just like
caretaker government. Caretakers.
Yeah. They're not like, because of the left Green Party, they left the government and they're now just caretakers. So because we have to have a government, even though we had elections, it's just, I mean, formalities and
yes,
stuff has to get
there
done.
There has to be a prime minister.
Yeah,
and he's prime minister until the new one,
the new government,
can be decided on. Yeah.
So it's a bit controversial to take to make this decision in this position that he's in, because he doesn't really have anything to do with it.
And it has happened before, I think, that whaling decisions have been made by outgoing governments.
Yeah.
So there's a precedent for that, but what's more interesting, I think, is you've got the Friends of Wales, Hvalnir, and the Vegan Society of Iceland, who are both condemning Bjarni for this. And they're amongst a variety of groups who are saying to the new government, revoke the whaling licenses.
Yeah.
So, okay, we accept that this is happening and these licenses are being offered.
Yeah.
But surely the new government will have the power to revoke them. I'm not sure that's true either.
I'm not a legal expert, so I'm not sure that that's possible either. But with the what we expect will be the new government, with the People's Party and Social Democrats and
I think in English, Vítareiðin is something like Liberal Reform Party.
Liberal
we tend to use their Icelandic, which we'll talk about.
They, because of Inga Sæland, she's the head of People's Party, and she is like a very renowned like activist for animals. She she's very against whaling because, she was against the whole, she has been against many animal.
Yes. But the left Greens were against whaling. I mean, it was their policy to be against it, but they found themselves up against the legal reality, which was that, well, firstly, one of their ministers was found to have breached parliamentary procedure by the ombudsman. And then you had Bjarki as well, who separately decided that there was nothing she could do because she was confined by the law.
Yeah.
So you might find that Inga Sæland's up against the same problem, which is that she desperately wants to revoke these licenses but legally can't.
Yeah.
That if she tries to, then the parliamentary ombudsman could come down on her as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because it has to be like, you, as you said, you have to follow the laws and follow the like governmental procedures and everything. And Svandís did not do that, or the ombudsman found that. And then we'll see what will happen, because I don't think whaling is something that these three parties that are trying to form a government that they are for.
No.
So
you might well find that no more licenses are offered by this incoming government, but they might have a problem with this set of licenses.
Yeah, because this license is also for like the next 5 years.
Yeah,
so this is a big decision, and it will last for a long time if it's able to.
Well, let's talk about the election. Let's talk about the new government, the incoming government, because as we sit here on the 10th of December, we're about 10 days on from the election.
Yeah.
Of course. Goodness, it doesn't seem like 10 days. It's like about 10 minutes ago, doesn't it? So 10 days since the election. And the first thing to note is that it happened in the middle of winter. And it nearly didn't happen at all on the right day.
Right.
But thankfully it did. And everyone was able to vote, which is fantastic, and a wonderful effort that was made by so many different agencies,
yeah,
like the Met Office and the Roads Authority and the rescue teams,
yes,
that were ready to get their ballot boxes across these very wintry roads. I know the head of the Electoral Commission today is saying it would be nice if the next parliamentary election didn't happen in winter.
Yeah, there is. Funnily enough, we're finding out now, there is a reason that we always elect in the spring.
Yes, or the summer.
or the autumn. Yeah. There is a reason that it isn't done like on the 30th of November.
Yes, but the rules I think would have to change now because that's now set. So it's 4 years from then, isn't it? Unless the
government can decide to, you know, have the elections in the spring. They
yes.
can decide.
Yeah, so they can go anytime, really, if
yeah,
they collapse the coalition. So let's hope that they don't have to go until the very
yeah,
last minute.
Yeah,
yeah,
because that was not a pretty thought on Saturday when we thought that maybe there wouldn't be an election.
No, and just to remind you of what would have happened if any single polling station, even one polling station in Iceland, couldn't open
yeah.
and people weren't able to vote at it, that would have meant that counting of any of the results anywhere in the country couldn't happen.
Yeah.
So we couldn't, it's not as if the counting could have started for the other 99.999% of all the polling stations.
No, it's because you have to, you can't, in the law it says you can't influence
yeah.
even one vote, you know. Everyone has to be able to vote
mm-hmm.
and the polling stations will close and then it will be like we have like the first numbers,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So you can't influence the voter with being already have counted something
yeah.
and maybe you'll see some of the results.
And there was one polling station, I think, that only had two people on the electoral roll.
Yeah.
So you talk about influencing one vote, it might have come down to that, you know.
Yeah,
it could easily
exactly.
have been as small a number as that, but it wasn't and it worked and everyone did a great
yes,
job and we've
it
got
was fantastic.
We've got a result, but we don't have a government yet.
No, they're trying the three women of the three parties we talked about, they're trying to form a government as we speak.
The Valkyries.
So, the Valkyries, yeah. Maybe they will be called the Valkyrie government.
I think they will.
Yeah.
And do we think that government is going to happen? I mean, there are always, it takes a long time to assemble a government here, but the fact that it's taking a long time doesn't mean that they're in any difficulty, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
We just had reports today of like they have like workshops with like representatives from all the parties,
mm.
and they're doing, you know, one workshop is doing judicial or and everything to do with judicial stuff
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
and foreign policy.
Yes,
and then it's like with all the ministries, like someone is doing. Economics and social.
Mm.
So they're trying to negotiate how they're gonna how
yes.
they're gonna do this.
And
possibly like not as many ministries as there are now.
Yes, I saw that. Something they seem to all agree on is
yeah.
the idea that you don't need to have as many ministries as
yeah.
is currently the case.
Yeah.
And do we have a time frame on this? I did read one report saying don't expect anything before Christmas.
Yeah, I don't think we can say like for certain about anything because they're all hoping that
mm.
that it will be before Christmas, but we couldn't possibly say.
Mm. Mm.
So hopefully before Christmas, but maybe not until the new year.
And until then, the caretaker government's still in power?
Yeah, that's in power. And I think Althingi, the parliament, it comes together in February
mm.
and then all the new MPs will have
yes.
their...
And also today, we know who's getting the seats, but
yeah.
those seats are being assigned today, aren't
yeah.
they? Yeah,
officially
the
assigned
yeah.
by
yeah.
the...
Okay, so that's the new government, something maybe to look forward to in 2025,
yeah.
perhaps. The eruption's over.
Yes, it officially declared over yesterday.
Yes, seventh in a year.
Yeah, seventh in a year. Eighth in total from December last year.
Yeah, and 10 on the peninsula since 2021.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a lot.
And, you know, we talk about these eruptions happening and then stopping and then starting again.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but it's got to the stage now where certainly here at Roof, obviously there's huge activity for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Well, not just we, but everyone makes sure that this thing is going off in a place that's not going to particularly imperil Grindavik or the power station at Svartsengi or the water pipes or whatever. And then once we know it's not going to do any of those things, it sort of goes to the back of everyone's mind.
It just goes to the background and we have the web cameras and we can watch it and it just continues to bubble.
Yes, and it bubbled until yesterday when it finally stopped. But this was 18 days, I think, this one?
18 days, if I recall. This, I think it's second longest.
And that lava went a long way. It went further west than ever.
Yeah.
And it destroyed the car park of the Blue Lagoon.
It did. It did. It went like with the defense.
The walls.
Mm. It went over the car park with the walls, and but luckily didn't penetrate Svartsengi or the Blue Lagoon. So that's a good thing. And they're building a new car park for the Blue Lagoon. Like just
I think ASAP. As we speak, you've got to get the bus there.
You've got to get the bus from Grindavik. Which is like 5 minutes or something like that, because of the car park. There isn't one.
There isn't.
but I think the one of the CEOs
The bosses of the
Blue Lagoon. Yeah. She said that they hopefully will have a parking lot before the end of the week or next week.
For the end of the week.
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to say year.
No.
Maybe next year. Okay, so that's obviously a priority for the people of the Blue Lagoon and the management.
Yeah.
And certainly on Roof English, a lot of people have said, why is there so much effort made protecting this private tourist attraction? But of course, it's about protecting the power station.
It is.
That feeds it.
And luckily for the Blue Lagoon, it's situated right next to it. So
that's why it exists.
Yeah. So that's where it gets the benefits from.
Yes. So, you know, basically what we're saying is you might as well protect the Blue Lagoon because it's right next to the power station, which absolutely has to be protected.
Yeah, definitely. And the power station does provide hot water for the whole peninsula, which is like 30,000 people.
Yes,
almost.
And that's not the capital area, but it's everything, more or less everything to the west of Reykjavik, isn't
it? It is. And also the airport, Keflavik Airport.
For sure, yeah. I remember when there was the heating went off in the airport, I think, during one of the eruptions.
And,
you know, the airport was still able to operate without any problems, but it was just a bit colder than usual.
Yeah, it was a bit colder in the building, yeah.
And that's also worth saying, it can't be said enough, that these eruptions, certainly these ones on the Reykjanes Peninsula, do not affect the airport. And people find that amazing.
Yeah, and it is amazing. I imagine it is amazing for people from outside of here, because I understand that people may imagine, that people that don't live in Iceland may imagine that eruption means destruction and...
And it's so close as well.
It's like just a few kilometers away, and it's just amazing that it doesn't affect air traffic.
Yes, and it only affects air traffic in as much as you might get an amazing view of the eruption as you're flying in or out of Iceland.
Yeah.
So that's the situation with the eruption. The Blue Lagoon, as we've touched on, has already reopened, as we've
said. It has reopened.
People can get to it by bus in the
and
car park by the end of the week.
The Met Office just announced yesterday that there's still lava flowing into a chamber under Svartsengi. That means that there's still a possibility of another eruption.
I would say there's a certainty of another eruption. It's just a matter of when, isn't it? Now, you know, I don't know, but I think, can we say with reasonable confidence that if on the 10th of December this eruption's just finished, can we hope that it's not going to happen over Christmas?
We can certainly hope. I don't want to say with reason.
No. I don't think there have been as few as, well, that would be 15 days now. I don't think there have been as little as 15 days between eruptions.
No.
Yeah.
And it's been, like before with other eruptions, it's been difficult to predict because just like with this eruption that just finished, that the Met Office said that it's highly unlikely that there will be an eruption before the election.
Yes.
This was in like the middle of November, and like 3 days later it started to erupt.
Yes. Well, I'm hopeful that because it happened then, it won't happen now, because I was fearful when the Met Office said that.
Yeah.
If they're saying don't expect an eruption in November, then they're basically saying expect one in December.
Yeah.
And if they're saying expect one in December, there's every chance it'll happen during Christmas. So yeah. I think the odds, surely the odds of an eruption over Christmas are lower than they would have been.
I think
because
so.
Because we have this.
Yeah. Because of this eruption, they are definitely lower than they would have been. But because the Met Office did say that don't expect it in November, because we don't have as much lava in the chamber as previously, because there's always had to be more lava because of the resistance. So it's always harder to for it to erupt. But that didn't happen this time.
Yeah.
This time it came. That's why they said it would come in December, but it didn't come.
So no one knows anything.
No one knows anything, and we're just here. We're just here for a ride.
Yeah, it's the eruptions world, and we're just living in it.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say. Okay, but it's over for now, at least as we have this conversation. Now, there was an enormous story in Iceland a couple of weeks ago, which I missed at first, because I got an email from someone saying there's a missing cat.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's very sad, but, you know, it's maybe not a news story. Then the next thing was that I discovered this particular cat had 16,000 fans on Facebook. And this was the cat Diego.
Yes.
Who is a pet cat, much beloved, who lives in the centre of Reykjavik, but spends a lot of time at Skaven in the shopping area.
Yeah.
And he's got a little cushion, I think, in A4 in the stationery shop. And he goes to Hakkaup, the supermarket as well. And yes, this cat has 16,000 followers on Facebook, 4% of the Icelandic population.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's a story. There's another cat story.
Yes.
That we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, there's a similar story, or we could say.
Yeah.
He's been missing for quite a bit longer than Diego went missing. This is Gosi, and he was missing for 13 years.
Wow.
And I think that's amazing.
This is in Þingeyri.
Yeah, this is in Þingeyri.
In the Westfjords. 13 years. So... Yeah. The cat was 2 when he went missing.
Yeah.
He's now 15. Are we sure this is Gosi, firstly?
Yes, we are sure, because the owners had him, like, they checked the chip.
Oh, he's chipped. Okay, yeah, so it's definitely him.
It's definitely him. And the owner always said, said in the TV interview that she had lost hope a year after he went missing. But he had the feeling that he was still alive. She had the feeling that he wasn't dead. So, so he just popped up.
And the vet says that he's been astray for a few years. So it's not like he's lived in someone else's house. Bad eyesight, overactive thyroid, rather skinny, but has snapped back into being the pet Gosi really quickly.
Yeah.
And is demanding pets and cuddles.
Yeah. So he's 15 years old. He is an old cat by now. So,
yes.
He's 15, I think.
He's 15 now, yeah. So he's 13 years in the wilderness.
Yeah.
It seems. And the owner recognized thought that she'd recognized Gosi in pictures of a cat that had been trapped in a cage in Þingeyri.
Yeah.
On Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah. It was.
And thought, well, I wonder if.
Yeah.
And it was.
It was. And she thought that. She wasn't sure, because she saw the Facebook ad and saw it like he was similar to her cat.
Mm.
But then she opened the cage that he was in, and he started going asking her to pet him.
Yes.
So she knew straight away, okay, this is Gosi. I know this guy.
He can't quite join the family yet. He has to be vaccinated because they've got other animals in the house.
Yeah.
And all of her children, not the cat's children, but the owner's children, are younger than Gosi.
So it's her life has changed quite a lot since he went missing.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. I wonder. I don't know whether the dog and the cat who are in the household were around when Gosi went missing. Probably not.
No, I don't think so.
But there's a dog. There's Esha, and there's a cat Utla as well, and then all the children who are younger than.
And then him, yeah.
Who will meet? I wonder if the family, you know, spoke to the children about this cat they used to have that went missing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who they never met.
No, exactly. The children seemed to be very happy that he was found, because and in the TV interview, one of the children said he was so soft and they like to pet him. So
yes. I mean, this is a good news story.
It is. And it? Sometimes there's good news stories.
Sometimes there is. And we should probably end here because we can't do a better news story than
this. I don't
this.
Think so. We'll end on a high.
End on a high. Absolutely. As we head in, or at least towards the festive season. Next week on Roof English Radio, our special festive programming will begin that I'm very excited about. And then we will probably pick up the week in Iceland again in 2025. At least, okay, let's make two predictions. There won't be an eruption before Christmas. Let's say we're 90% certain about that. And let's also say there won't be another election in 2025.
Yes. I'm ready to make a 95% accuracy that the eruption won't happen before Christmas.
95, okay.
95%. But yeah, let's hope there won't be another election because we've had two already this year.
Yes.
Three counting the elections in America.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, if I count the ones in the UK that I also voted in, of course, I wasn't involved in covering them, but it's been quite the year of elections. And the only way there would be an election next year, well, there won't be a presidential election, of course,
we know that. Definitely not.
And a parliamentary election that only happens if the Valkyries don't like each other.
Yeah.
And it seems that they do like each other.
It seems that each other, and it seems like they do want to work together, and they're positive, and they've been very, very positive, and these past few days, and say that the bargaining for the new government is going very well. So,
well, let's maintain that positivity.
Let's hope for the best.
If I don't see you before the festive, I'm sure I will, but if I don't,
Gleðileg jól.
Have a wonderful time.
Og gleðilegt nýtt ár.
Takk fyrir, sömuleiðis.
Yes.
Sömuleiðis. And maybe we will talk again in 2025.
Yes, definitely.
Inga, thanks very much indeed.
Thank you.
Roof English Radio, I'm Darren Adam. Get in touch with us anytime. We are English at ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.